55. Rashik is to try and lead Alendi in the wrong direction, to discourage him or otherwise foil his quest. Alendi doesn't know that he has been deceived, that we've all been deceived, and he will not listen to me now.
Straff woke in the cold morning and immediately reached for a leaf of black frain. He was beginning to see the benefits of his addiction. It woke him quickly and easily, making his body feel warm despite the early hour. When he might have once taken an hour to get ready, he was up in minutes, dressed, prepared for the day. And glorious that day would be. Gennaro met him outside his tent, and the two walked through the bustling camp. Straff's boots cracked on half ice, half snow as he made his way to his horse.
"The fires are out, my lord," Gennaro explained. "Probably due to the snows. The Kolos probably finished their rampaging and took shelter from the cold. Our scouts are afraid to get too close, but they say the city is like a graveyard. Quiet and empty, save for the bodies."
"Maybe they actually killed each other off," Straff said cheerfully, climbing into his saddle, breath puffing in the crisp morning air. Around him the army was forming up. 50,000 soldiers, eager at the prospect of taking the city. Not only was there plundering to be done, but moving into Luthadel would mean roofs and walls for all of them.
"Perhaps," Gennaro said, mounting.
"Wouldn't that be convenient," Straff thought with a smile. "All of my enemies dead, the city and its riches mine, and no scar to worry about."
"My lord," someone cried.
Straff looked up. The field between his camp and Luthadel was colored gray and white, the snow stained by ash. And gathering on the other side of that field were Kolos.
"Looks like they are alive after all, my lord," Gennaro said.
"Indeed," Straff said, frowning.
There were still a lot of the creatures. They piled out of the western gate, not attacking immediately, instead gathering in a large body.
"Scout counts say there are fewer of them than there were," Gennaro said after a short time. "Perhaps two-thirds their original number, maybe a bit fewer. But they are Kolos."
"But they're abandoning their fortifications," Straff
said, smiling, black frain warming his blood, making him feel like he was burning metals.
"And they're coming to us. Let them charge. This should be over quickly."
"Yes, my lord," Gennaro said, sounding a little less certain.
He frowned, then, pointing toward the southern section of the city,
"My lord?" "What now?"
"Soldiers, my lord," Gennaro said.
"Human ones. Looks to be several thousand of them."
Straff frowned.
"They should all be dead."
The Kolos charged. Straff's horse shuffled slightly as the blue monsters ran across the gray field, the human troops falling into more organized ranks behind.
"Archers!" Gennaro shouted. "Prepare first volley!"
"Perhaps I shouldn't be at the front," Straff thought suddenly.
He turned his horse, then noticed something. An arrow suddenly shot from the midst of the charging Kolos. But Kolos didn't use bows. Besides, the monsters were still far away, and that object was far too big to be an arrow anyway. A rock, perhaps? It seemed larger than... It began to fall down toward Straff's army. Straff stared into the sky, riveted by the strange object. It grew more distinct as it fell. It wasn't an arrow, nor was it a rock. It was a person.
A person with a flapping mist cloak.
"No!"
Straff yelled.
"She's supposed to be gone."
Vin screamed down from her Duralumin-fueled steel jump, massive Kolos sword light in her hands. She hit Straff directly in the head with the sword, then continued on downward, slamming into the ground, throwing up snow and frozen dirt with the power of her impact. The horse fell into two pieces, front and back. What remained of the former king slid to the ground with the equine corpse. She looked at the remnants, smiled grimly, and bid Straff farewell. Elend had, after all, warned him what would happen if he attacked the city. Straff's generals and attendants stood around her in a stunned circle. Behind her, the Kolos army barreled forward, confusion in Straff's ranks making the archer volleys ragged and less effective. Vin kept a tight hold on her sword, then pushed outward with a Duralumin-enhanced steel push. Riders were thrown, their beasts tripped by their shoes, and soldiers sprayed backward from her in a circle of several dozen yards. Men screamed. She downed another vial, restoring both steel and pewter. Then she jumped up, seeking out generals and other officers to attack. As she moved, her Kolos troops hit the front ranks of Straff's army, and the real carnage began.
"What are they doing?" Set asked,
hurriedly throwing on his cloak as he was placed and tied into his saddle.
"Attacking, apparently," said Bauman, one of his aides. "Look, they're working with the Kolos."
Set frowned, doing up his cloak clasp.
"A treaty? With Kolos?" Bauman asked.
Set shrugged.
"Who's going to win?" "No way to tell, my lord," the man said. "Kolos are..."
"What is this?"
Aurean demanded, riding up the snowy incline, accompanied by a couple of abashed guards. Set had, of course, ordered them to keep her in the camp, but he had also, of course, expected that she'd get past them eventually.
"At least I can count on her to be slowed down by getting ready in the morning," he thought with amusement.
She wore one of her dresses, immaculately arranged, her hair done. If a building were burning down, Aurean would still pause to do her makeup before escaping.
"Looks like the battle has begun," Set said, nodding toward the fighting.
"Outside the city?"
Aurean asked, riding up next to him. Then she brightened.
"They're attacking Straff's position."
"Yes," Set said. "And that leaves the city..."
"We have to help them, father."
Set rolled his eyes.
"You know we're going to do nothing of the sort. We'll see who wins. If they're weak enough, which I hope they will be, we'll attack them. I didn't bring all of my forces back with me, but maybe..."
He trailed off as he noticed the look in Aurean's eyes. He opened his mouth to speak, but before he could do so, she kicked her horse into motion. Her guards cursed, dashing forward, too late, to try and grab her reins. Set sat stunned. This was a little insane, even for her. She wouldn't dare... She galloped down the hill toward the battle. Then she paused, as he had expected. She turned, looking back at him.
"If you want to protect me, father," she yelled, "you'd better charge."
With that, she turned and started galloping again, her horse throwing up puffs of snow. Set didn't move.
"My lord," Bauman said, "those forces look almost evenly matched. 50,000 against a force of some 12,000 Kolos and about 5,000 men. If we were to add our strength to either side..."
"Damn fool girl,"
he thought, watching Aurean gallop away.
"My lord?"
Bauman asked.
"Why did I come to Luthadel in the first place? Was it because I really thought I could take the city? Without allomancers? With my homeland in revolt? Or was it because I was looking for something? A confirmation of the stories. A power like I saw on that night when the air almost killed me. How exactly did they get the Kolos to fight with them, anyway?" "Gather our forces," Set commanded. "We're marching to the defense of Luthadel. And somebody send riders after that fool daughter of mine."
Sazed rode quietly, his horse moving slowly in the snow. Ahead of him, the battle raged, but he was far enough behind it to be out of danger. He'd left the city behind, where Luthadel's surviving women and elderly watched from the walls. Vin had saved them from the Kolos. The real miracle would be to see if she could save them from the other two armies. Sazed didn't ride into the fight. His metal mines were mostly empty, and his body was nearly as tired as his mind. He simply brought his horse to a halt, its breath puffing in the cold as he sat alone on the snowy plain. He didn't know how to deal with Tyndall's death. He felt hollow. He wished that he could just stop feeling. He wished that he could go back and defend her gate instead of his own. Why hadn't he gone in search of her when he'd heard of the northern gate's fall? She'd still been alive then. He might have been able to protect her. Why did he even care anymore? Why bother? "But the ones who had faith were right," he thought. "Vin came back to defend the city. I lost hope, but they never did." He started his horse forward again. The sounds of battle came in the distance. He tried to focus on anything but Tyndall, but his thoughts kept returning to things he had studied with her. The facts and stories became more precious, for they were a link to her, a painful link, but one he couldn't bear to discard. The hero of ages was not simply to be a warrior, he thought, still riding slowly toward the battlefield. He was a person who united others, who brought them together. A leader. He knew that Vin thought she was the hero, but Tyndall was right. It was too much of a coincidence, and he wasn't even certain what he believed anymore, if anything. The hero of ages was removed from the Terrace people, he thought, watching the Kolos attack. He was not royalty himself, but came to it eventually. Sazed pulled his horse up, pausing in the center of the open, empty field. Arrows stuck from the snow around him, and the ground was thoroughly trampled. In the distance, he heard a drum. He turned, watching as an army of men marched over a rise to the west. They flew Set's banner. He commanded the forces of the world. Kings rode to his aid. Set's forces joined the battle against Straff. There was a crash of metal against metal, bodies grunting as a new front came under attack. Sazed sat on the field between the city and the armies. Vin's forces were still outnumbered, but as Sazed watched, Straff's army began to pull back. It broke into pieces, its members fighting without direction. Their movements bespoke terror. "She's killing their generals," he thought. Set was a clever man. He himself rode to battle, but he stayed near the back of his ranks, his infirmities requiring him to remain tied into his saddle and making it difficult for him to fight. Still, by joining the battle, he ensured that Vin would not turn her Kolos on him. For there was really no doubt in Sazed's mind who would win this conflict. Indeed, before even an hour had passed, Straff's troops began to surrender in large groups. The sounds of battle died down, and Sazed kicked his horse forward. "Holy First Witness," he thought. "I don't know that I believe that. But either way, I should be there for what happens next." The Kolos stopped fighting, standing silently. They parted for Sazed as he rode up through their ranks. Eventually he found Vin standing, bloodied, her massive Kolos sword held on one shoulder. Some Kolos pulled a man forward, a lord in rich clothing and a silvery breastplate. They dropped him before Vin. From behind, Penrod approached with an honor guard, led by a Kolos. Nobody spoke. Eventually, the Kolos parted, and this time a suspicious Set rode forward, surrounded by a large group of soldiers and led by a single Kolos. Set eyed Vin, then scratched his chin.
"Not much of a battle," he said.
"Straff's soldiers were afraid," Vin said. "They're cold, and they have no desire to fight Kolos."
"And their leaders?" Set asked.
"I killed them," Vin said. "Except this one. Your name?"
"Lord Janarl," said Straff's man.
His leg appeared broken, and Kolos held him by either arm, supporting him.
"Straff is dead," Vin said. "You control this army now."
The nobleman bowed his head.
"No, I don't. You do."
Vin nodded.
"On your knees," she said.
The Kolos dropped Janarl. He grunted in pain, but then bowed forward.
"I swear my army to you," he whispered.
"No," Vin said sharply. "Not to me. To the rightful heir of House Venture. He is your lord now."
Janarl paused.
"Very well," he said. "Whatever you wish. I swear loyalty to Straff's son, Elend Venture."
The separate groups stood in the cold. Sazed turned as Vin did, looking at Penrod. Vin pointed at the ground. Penrod quietly dismounted, then bowed himself to the ground.
"I swear as well," he said. "I give my loyalty to Elend Venture."
Vin turned to Lord Set.
You expect this of me? The bearded man said, amused.
Yes, Vin said quietly.
And if I refuse? Set asked.
Then I'll kill you, Vin said quietly. You brought armies to attack my city. You threatened my people. I won't slaughter your soldiers, make them pay for what you did. But I will kill you, Set.
Silence. Sazed turned, looking back at the lines of immobile Koloss, standing in the bloodied snow.
That is a threat, you know, Set said. Your own Elend would never stand for such a thing.
He's not here, Vin said.
And what do you think he'd say? Set asked. He'd tell me not to give in to such a demand. The Honorable Elend Venture would never give in simply because someone threatened his life.
You're not the man that Elend is, Vin said, and you know it.
Set paused, then smiled.
No. No, I'm not. He turned to his aides. Help me down.
Vin watched quietly as the guards undid Set's legs, then lifted him down to the snowy ground. He bowed.
Very well, then. I swear myself to Elend Venture. He's welcome to my kingdom, assuming he can take it back from that damn obligator who now controls it.
Vin nodded, turning to Sazed.
I need your help, Sazed. Whatever you command, mistress, Sazed said quietly.
Vin paused.
Please don't call me that. As you wish, Sazed said.
You're the only one here I trust, Sazed, Vin said, ignoring the three kneeling men. With Ham wounded in Breeze,
I will do my best, Sazed said, bowing his head.
What is it you want me to do?
Secure Luthadel, Vin said. Make certain the people are sheltered and send for supplies from Straff's storehouses. Get these armies situated so that they won't kill each other, then send a squad to fetch Elend. He'll be coming south on the Canal Highway.
Sazed nodded, and Vin turned to the three kneeling kings.
Sazed is my second. You will obey him as you would Elend or myself.
They each nodded in turn.
But where will you be? Penrod asked, looking up.
Vin sighed, suddenly looking terribly weak.
Sleeping, she said, and dropped her sword.
Then she pushed against it, shooting backward into the sky toward Luthadel.
He left ruin in his wake, but it was forgotten, Sazed thought, turning to watch her fly. He created kingdoms and then destroyed them as he made the world anew. We had the wrong gender all along.
The end of part 5.